Fantastic. I appreciate the music this morning. Great singing. I love the last line there. Tell the world of the treasure you have found. Amen to that. As you know, this morning we are celebrating the Lord's Supper, our communion. And when we have this on Sundays, I try not to go too long-winded because I know we want to make time to really be reminded of what the Lord has done for us. And so with that in mind, take your Bibles this morning, and we're going to go to the book of Luke. I know you're surprised. I know that my Bible typically falls open to the book of Philippians, and we have been there for some time. But take your Bibles and go to the book of Luke in chapter number 22 and verse number 14. The book of Luke, chapter 22 and verse number 14. And we're going to work our way through a little bit of this, and we're going to help us understand this morning a little bit about what's going on as we are reminded of what Christ has done for us. And so in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 14, the Bible says this, "And when the hour was come," and again, I have to be careful as I go through this because I just promised I would not be long-winded. But when I see verses, things come to my mind that I want to talk about. But just as we get to this, we understand that Christ and his sacrifice is something that has been planned and orchestrated by God. The Bible says that Christ was crucified even before the foundation of the world. So in the mind of God, these things are working forth and they're being accomplished according to his timeline. Galatians 4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son." And so we recognize that all these things that are taking place are planned and orchestrated by God for the redemption of mankind, so we can have a relationship with him once again through Jesus Christ. So the hour was come. This is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. And I know I've mentioned this, I think, before, but oftentimes we think of this day of the crucifixion. We think, oh, we sing the song, "This is the day the Lord has made," and we talk about today. Or sometimes if we're having a bad day, we still say, "This is the day the Lord's made, I'm going to rejoice in it." But what that really means, the day the Lord has made, is the day for the redemption of mankind that would be performed by Jesus Christ upon the cross. That is the day that God has made. We will rejoice in that day because the day of Christ and his work is the day that our salvation was accomplished by our faith in Jesus Christ. And so the hour was come. It's happening. The prophecies have been fulfilled. It's working towards what Christ would do. And it says in verse number 14, "And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." So we understand earlier in chapter 22 that Judas has already agreed to betray Jesus. He has already warned them in chapter 21 that persecution would come. He has already told them and given them instruction up to this point. And we understand that he is explaining to them that the hour is come that he would suffer. And he says this in verse 15, "I have a desire to eat Passover with you." And so this morning, what we're going to do, in the best of my ability in the time we have, is draw this connection between verse 15 in Luke 22, where Jesus is saying, "I have a desire to have Passover with you," and go back to Exodus and talk about Passover, and talk about what Passover meant, and what that how that points to and leads to what Christ has done for us upon the cross. So you're in Luke, but now we're going to go back to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 12. The book of Exodus chapter number 12. And most of us understand, or at least if you've been in Sunday school, you understand what was taking place with Passover and all the things that were being done. And we won't read through all of Exodus chapter number 12, but I want to hit the high points of what was taking place. So in Exodus chapter number 12, go down to verse number 43. And this gives us some of the instructions of Passover in Exodus 12 and verse number 43. "And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, This is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall be no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is brought about for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he thereof. And a foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. And then verse 46, and in one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And so we see, again, without going into great detail, go back to verse number 7 of chapter number 12. So he's already explained to him that all the congregation of Israel shall keep, and he gives them some of the rules. And in verse 7 of chapter 12, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it. So again, I want to go into all these details so we understand what was taking place. The children of Israel had been captive in slavery in Egypt. Up to this point, we know of the plagues that had taken place, and we understand that we are leading towards the death of the firstborn son. Israel, because of their slavery and their captivity, had not been able to fulfill God's desire for them. And so God is going to send them a deliverer in the name of Moses, who, when he was called to do this, he says, I can't do this. I stutter. I'm not able to do these things. And he says, well, who do I say sent me when I get there? And he says, tell him I am him. The true God, basically what he's trying to say, has sent you to deliver the people. And so Exodus, by this point, you're at the final plague. Pharaoh keeps changing his mind. Sometimes he says, okay, I'm going to let you go. They aren't let go. And on we go back and forth. And finally it comes to this final plague where Moses warns that there is going to be the death of the firstborn son. So go to chapter 12, verse 1 in Exodus, and let's read through this a little bit. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year. We understand that the Jewish calendar would work off of Passover. It says, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And the household be too little for the lamb, then let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb, he says, shall be without blemish, a make of the first male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And when they already read verse 7, where it says, they take the blood and they strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses. So we understand that Passover was looking forward to what Christ would do. We recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the Passover lamb. And I'm realizing as I go through this that we are reminded all that Christ has done for us. We see the purpose of the Passover. What was the point of this? Go back to Exodus chapter number 6 and verse 7 and 8. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8. What is taking place? Why are all these things being accomplished? Verse 7 in Exodus 6 says this, and I will take you to be for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord. Go chapter 7 and verse number 16. The purpose of this deliverance, the purpose of them delivering them from captivity. Chapter 7 and verse number 16. And it says, and thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrew hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, they that may serve me in the wilderness, and behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. So what is he doing? He's setting them free from captivity. He's setting them free from the bondage of slavery. And ultimately, this verse in verse number 16 tells us the purpose of this deliverance. Look at the verse again, verse 16. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent unto me thee, saying this, let my people go. Why? That they may serve me. The purpose of this deliverance was rescue from bondage, that they would serve the true and living God. He was going to deliver them from this bondage. If we go back to Exodus once again, chapter 12, it says the same thing. Chapter 12 and verse number 31. Now we're building this case this morning, okay? So hang with me. Exodus 12 and verse number 31. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, and look at what the command is, and do what? Go, serve the Lord as you have said. Go, get out of the bondage and serve the Lord. So we understand that as we live in this world today, I know that we're not captive by Egyptians, but we are in bondage to sin. We are slaves to sin. And the Passover was accomplished to set the people free from the bondage of sin, from slavery, that they would be free to serve the Lord. Jesus Christ becomes our Passover lamb, in order to set us free from the bondage of sin. One more verse in Exodus. Go back to chapter 4 and verse number 22. Chapter 4 and verse number 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may do what? That he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. So you get the point, okay? They were going to be delivered to serve the true and living God. As I've already read and alluded to, I said one more verse in Exodus, but just one more verse in Exodus. Chapter 13 and verse number 8. Chapter 13 and verse number 8. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. Okay, so chapter 13, what is that talking about? So after all these things are accomplished, what does God say to do? He says, I want you to remember my deliverance. That's what chapter 13 is about. He says, I want you to look back and I want you to remember how I delivered you. And so in verse 8 of chapter 13, it says basically, if your child questions about the Lord, I wonder what's going on. Verse 8 says, thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. Basically, the child says, hey, well, why are we celebrating Passover? Why are we having this celebration? He says, I want you to be reminded of what the Lord has done for us. So there's a setting free from bondage of slavery. There's a deliverance so they can serve the true and living God, because they're in Egypt in bondage to the false gods. And then there's a remembrance in Passover where they're being reminded of the faithfulness of God. As a matter of fact, as we look at this, one of the most beautiful truths in Scripture is that the Old Testament constantly points us to Jesus Christ. It did not leave these pictures as empty pictures, but shows us the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus in Luke says, I'm desiring to celebrate Passover. It was that deliverance of God from the people, from the slavery they were in. Just a few other high points of what was taking place in Egypt, that God's people had been slaves there for over 400 years. As you've already, if you read through all this, and we don't have time to go through all the verses, you would have read that 9 plagues had already fallen on Egypt. And the 10th plague was going to be the death of the firstborn son. As I've already skimmed over quickly, God instructed the people to kill a spotless lamb. And what were they to do with the blood? They were to take the blood and put it over the doorpost to stay inside the house, eat the lamb. And then, a verse I didn't read, he says, I want you to be ready to leave because I'm going to bring deliverance. When God saw the blood, placed over the doorpost, as we understand, as the death angel comes through, they skip pass over the house. It did not mean that the people deserved mercy, but that God had granted mercy by their following his instruction. An innocent lamb had died to provide and to shed the blood for the doorpost. The blood was a symbol that God had provided a substitute. We were talking about this on, I'm going to be not long-winded, but on Wednesday night we were talking about this in Hebrews, how, and even Romans 3 mentions this, that the blood of bulls and goats can't take away sin. And so the sins that were committed even before the cross are also covered by Jesus Christ through what is called the forbearance of God. And so when God saw the blood, the judgment passed over them. A lamb died so others could live. And every year, Israel was to be remembering what God has done, and they set their calendars by that event. So the Lord's Supper that we are looking towards today is a reminder of what Christ has done. The Lord's Supper is a remembering of God's deliverance. Jesus, go back to Luke now quickly in your Bibles. Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, once again. Luke 22 and verse number 19, once again. Does it get hot in here to anybody else? Maybe I'm just moving around. I don't know. But I rarely sweat in Westcliff, but I feel myself getting warm up here this morning. Luke 22 and verse number, Yes, 19. It says, "And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now again, just kind of fast forwarding to what's taking place. What are we doing here? And oftentimes we need to be reminded, because this is my worry as a pastor, and I know we only do communion every 2 months or so, and a lot of times I'll text Bethany and I'll say, "Hey, don't forget it's Lord's Supper Sunday," and she'll say, "I never can keep track of that," right? Exactly when we do this. But every 2 months we celebrate Lord's Supper. But my fear is, as a church, that it just becomes commonplace. It just becomes something normal, right? Remember the Passover of Exodus? He says, when people ask about it, I want you to remind them what God has done. And that's what this is this morning. So the Passover was a remembrance of that lamb and that work of God and how God passed over and ultimately would deliver the people from Egypt. And we know there was some grumbling and complaining that took place after that. But what are we doing today? We're reminding ourselves of the work of Christ. And that it should be fresh on our minds. And when our kids ask us, why are they passing out juice and crackers, right? What is going on here? We look and we say, this is a reminder of what Jesus has done for us. And this is a symbol of his body. It doesn't turn into his body or turn into his blood. That's total nonsense. But it is a representation of what Christ has done for us. We're reminded of his work upon the cross. We're reminded of the blood that he shed. The cup, he says, is a New Testament of my blood. So instead, in Luke, instead of pointing people back towards Egypt, Jesus is pointing people towards the cross. It's not about delivery from slavery in Egypt, but this event is about deliverance from slavery to sin. It's deliverance from the bondage of sin that we are all in, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are in bondage. We are in slavery. But Jesus, through his work upon the cross, has set us free. The Lamb of God becomes the Passover Lamb. Christ, as John the Baptist declared in John 1:29, remember what he says? "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is perfect, sinless, and spotless. He did not merely cover sin, but he removed sin. Hebrews 10, as I mentioned many times, reminds us that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. But Jesus came and he died once, forever, in one sacrifice, in one redemption, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The blood on the doorpost is a picture and a pointing to what Jesus Christ would do for us. As the shedding of his blood upon the cross would redeem man back to himself. After the picture of Passover, you see the work of Christ upon the cross. Romans 5, which you can hardly preach any sermon without going to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. And I'll read it to you. I could quote it, but we'll just go there quickly. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9. It says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." The Passover was a national observance, but the Lord's Supper is a personal observance. Passover belonged to Israel. The Lord's Supper, I believe, belongs to the church. The Lord's Supper recognizes the new birth that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Going through some of this quickly. But the Passover, as I mentioned, it looks forward to what God was going to do in delivering the people in Exodus 12. And then he tells them to look back. Well, the Lord's Supper reminds us to look back at what Christ has done for us. That he has sent, that God has sent his Son and given his life upon the cross for our sins. That's why Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." We're not waiting for another sacrifice. We're not waiting for another deliverance. The work is complete, and as Christ said upon the cross, it is finished. Passover anticipated the deliverance of God, but the Lord's Supper proclaims the deliverance of God. The Passover anticipated what would happen. He says, "Be ready to leave." But the Lord's Supper proclaims that Jesus has died and he has shed his blood and he has given himself for the sins of mankind, that we can be forgiven of our sin. So we go, let me just look through this quickly. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we'll read this again together in just a moment. But this is why Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 reminds the church at Corinth these instructions. And there's so much more to be said, and I promised I wouldn't be long-winded because I want us to have time to reflect upon the work of Christ. But he says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, he says, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken or given for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Listen, understand this. There is no law you can keep that can earn salvation. The Bible says, "If righteousness has come by the law, Christ be dead in vain." The Bible tells us that we are justified freely by his grace. Without Christ, we have nothing. The law is not the problem. We're the problem. We can't keep the law. We have all sinned and fallen short of the righteousness of God. So Jesus says in verse number 24, "Take, eat. This is my body, which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Without Christ, we have no redemption from slavery of sin. We are still in bondage to sin. And I wonder sometimes, this is free for just one moment, okay? Something I think about in society today. We have no appreciation for Christ because we have no recognition of sin. If you do not recognize sin, you will not appreciate what Christ has done. A lot of times in this world, we think we are good or we are going to squeak into heaven by helping elderly people cross the street or something like that. There's no one squeaks into heaven. You are either in or you are out. And the determination of that is whether you have put your faith in Jesus Christ for his salvation. The Bible says it like this: "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Romans 4 says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." hopeless without Jesus Christ. There's none righteous, no, not one. Romans says every mouth will be stopped in the presence of God. There's nothing to say except for come to Christ. And so when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're reminding ourselves that Jesus came to this earth, lived a perfect sinless life, and allowed himself, we went through this in Philippians 2, remember? Allowed himself to go to a cross and to die upon that cross. You know why? Because I was in bondage to sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I am a slave to sin. And even if we think without Christ that we're just living our lives and making our own decisions, no, no. We're in bondage and slavery to sin outside of Christ. So he says, take this and eat it and remember my body that was given for you. And I won't go into the whole story. I've done that many times. But you know what Christ went through for you. You know the pain and the agony that he went through. You know about the nails. You know about the crown of thorns. You know about the beating. You know what he did for you. And we're reminded of his body that was given for mankind for the redemption. Not an animal sacrifice, because animal sacrifice cannot cover the sins of human, because we are made in the image of God. Animals and humanity are distinct and separate. The animals are not made in the image of God. We are. It had to be a human to die for us, but it couldn't be just any human. This human had to be sinless, and so God sends his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to redeem man from sin. So it says, take, eat, this is my body, which was given, broken for you. We know not a bone was broken in his body, but we recognize that his body was abused and beaten for mankind. So you remember what I've done for you. Just like in Passover, why are we doing this? We're reminding ourselves of God's deliverance from slavery. Why are we doing this? We're reminding ourselves of what Christ has done for mankind. And then he says in verse 25, in the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink, and he says it again, in remembrance of me. The blood of Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Blood is a symbol of death. Jesus died for our sins. Without Jesus, we have no salvation. All the Bible is pointing and picturing to the work of Jesus Christ. And so the bread and the juice that we partake in, it's a memorial. It's a reminder, it's a proclamation, it's a testimony. And every time we partake in this, we're proclaiming to the world, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ is coming again. It's all about him. And we are to be reminded of who he is and what he has done for mankind. The Bible says the just for the unjust. Christ has died that we would have forgiveness of sin. Just one more, maybe two more verses from the book of Romans. Take your Bibles quickly and go to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. Romans 5, in verse 1, you can never go wrong reading Romans 5, 1. He says this, therefore, or because of this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, by means of or through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8, there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, verse 38, where he says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, look at this, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God has flown through the work of Jesus Christ. And so when we come to every other month celebrating the Lord's Supper, may we be reminded of what Christ has done for us. That because of Christ, there is now therefore no condemnation. Because of Christ, I have been justified by faith. Because of Christ, he says, nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So I pray this morning will be a different type morning where we celebrate the Lord's Supper. I pray this morning will be a morning we really have our minds upon Christ and we're praising God for what he has done. And every Lord's Supper is a silent sermon, as I've already said. He has died, he has risen, he is coming again, and we are reminded of his work. And there will be a day where, because of Christ, when we die and leave this earth and go to heaven, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we will have eternal life in him because of what Jesus has done for us. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Joanne and Bethany are going to come. We'll go ahead and call the men forward to distribute the elements this morning. Why are we doing this? We're reminding ourselves what Christ has done for us. We're reminding ourselves of the work of Jesus upon the cross for mankind. Joanne and Bethany are just going to play for just a moment. Let's take a moment today as they play. Before we start, just bow your heads. Say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, reach out to him by faith in what he has done for you. Don't stay in your sin. He has come to set us free from the slavery and the bondage of sin. Reach out by faith in his finished work for you. If you're here today and you are saved, just say thank you for what you've done. Be reminded that your salvation is because of his work upon the cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, as I say every time, you do not have to be a member of this church to partake of the Lord's Supper, but you do need to be a member of God's family through faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, for I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Before we distribute the bread, we're going to pray and thank the Lord for what he has done. Bible then says in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until he come. We're so grateful for what Christ has done for each of us. Let's bow our heads together one more time together. Father, thank you for sending your only Son to die for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Thank you for encouraging us and commanding us to remind ourselves of what you have done for us. We could not save ourselves. We were in bondage to sin, just as those that were in bondage to slavery in Egypt. But Lord, you have delivered us through Christ. You have broke the chains of sin and death through Christ. We thank you for your work. We thank you for your plan. We thank you for executing the salvation, the redemption of man perfectly. Lord, I pray if any here has never trusted Christ to be their Savior, that they today would reach out by faith in his finished work, that we may rejoice together in another that has eternal life through Jesus. May not only today, but may we be reminded of what you have done, but every day, may we thank you for your work upon the cross, and may we ponder upon the greatness of salvation. We praise you for these great events, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.